And I may take up some of y'all's fellowship and time here. Amen. Exodus 25, we've been learning a little bit about the tabernacle. I hope it's isn't tedious to you. But, you know, there's a lot of wonderful things. A Bible school teacher I had said, until that you can see Jesus on every page of the Old Testament, you don't know your Bible too well. And the fact of the matter is that if you don't understand the Old Testament, you don't understand the New. And there's so many things that we need to learn about the Bible. Exodus 25 and verse 31 says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, and shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same, and 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side, 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one bowl, or one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So is the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers." And verse 37 I'll skip down to. It says, "And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it." Now, the last thing we studied was about the laver, which didn't have a whole lot of detail to it. But as you can see, this candlestick has quite a bit of detail. And the blazing beauty of this candlestick would be the very next thing that someone would see as they entered into the tabernacle. You get the picture here. You come into the outer court. You pass by the brazen altar that speaks about Calvary. You go to the laver that speaks of sanctification. You go right into the tabernacle, and the first thing that your eyes are going to fall on is the lampstand, the candlestick, the blazing, glorious, golden lampstand that was a talent of gold, 120 pounds of gold, beaten into this beautiful work, filled with the light, the only light that's in the tabernacle. Now, I think that gold is somewhere, isn't it somewhere around $500 an ounce? $5.45 an ounce? All I can say is this was a very valuable piece. 120 pounds of pure gold, the Bible says. And it's not counting how beautiful it was. It was an amazing work of art as well, because these people weren't just... It wasn't just Michelangelo out of talent. This was the anointing of the Holy Ghost making this. And so this was an amazing, glorious piece lit up with blazing light and lighting up the tabernacle. Well, it was decorated with almond flowers, pomegranates, and lilies. That was the decorative work that was upon it. The candlestick held lamps, and we say candlestick, but back in the olden days, a candle was light. And this candlestick had lamps with oil in it and wicks that they set on top of the lampstand. The candlestick had one main shaft with 6 branches coming out of the shaft. And this caused the room to shine and be illuminated. And it's from this piece of furniture that I see 3 things unified. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but ye have the light of life." Jesus is seen in this lampstand. Matthew 5 and 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be healed. The church cannot be hid. The church is seen in this lampstand." Psalms 119 and 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I see the word of God in this lampstand. And can I say, in all reality, you can't separate the church from Jesus and the word of God. It's all one big, beautiful piece of work that God has done by the power of the Holy Ghost. So after that, somebody's justified at Calvary, sanctified, and then goes into a deeper work and walk with God, they're going to be dazzled by the beauty of the Word of God, the Christ of God, and the Church of the Living God. Amen. Let me talk to you just a little bit about the shaft and the branches of the candlestick. The shaft was the centerpiece that held up the branches. It went from the floor, and Titus came in and wiped out Jerusalem, and there was an archway built in Rome that depicted this when the emperor's son came back with the spoils, and on it was a inscription chiseled in of the golden candlestick. And it showed that the shaft stood above the other six branches that came out. It was higher. Now, it's not specified in the Bible, but that's the way the artist of Rome depicted this piece of furniture. And then all the other six candlesticks were at the same level, but the shaft that went from the floor on up was higher than the rest of this. The manner that it was made was by beating the metal into this amazing work. Branches came out of the side of the shaft because of man beating the gold and making the lampstand. Now, if I can see this myself properly, I see Christ as the central light. He is the shaft that is above all. He is the light that is above everything. And I can see that it is because of him that the branches stand and the branches can give forth their life. If there was no shaft, the branches could not stand and the branches could not give forth their life. And so Christ taught that we are the branches and he is the main vine. And so I don't think it's overstepping anything to say that Jesus is the central shaft here, the one that is exalted above all others, that allows for the others to give forth their life, that by our connection to him, that we become lights unto this world as well. The way that the branches were connected to the shaft and the way that they were worked into the shaft was by a beaten work. That's how that they were made in there. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ was beaten black and blue, that we could be a part of his body, the church of the living God? Amen. Just as Adam, amen, was put to sleep and God done the first surgery by taking a rib out of his side and making his bride. Amen. Upon the cross, Jesus was beaten and a spear was shoved up into his side to bring forth a bride out of his side. Amen. And the branches came out of the side, and we are one with Jesus Christ because of the beating that he took upon Calvary. Notice that the branches came out of the side of the shaft. It was not out of the front. They did not take preeminence. Amen. When that you would come in and look at this piece of work, you would not look at the branches first, but the center shaft that held up the branches. And when we come to church, my friends, Jesus should always be the center of everybody's attention. It's not the branches, it's the shaft. It's not the church, it's Jesus Christ. It's not us lower lights, it's the highest light that everybody ought to pay attention to. Can you say amen here tonight? The decorations of the candlestick, amen, were lilies, pomegranates, and flowers, almond flowers. Lilies speak of purity. Amen. And we all talk about lily white. And even the Song of Solomon speaks of Jesus Christ, and we sing the song, He's the Lily of the Valley. Amen. Jesus Christ is pure in every sense of the matter. Amen. There were three lilies upon each of the six branches, which speaks to us that His purity is given to the church. Amen. The knop was considered to be a pomegranate, which was fruit. Amen. Jesus Christ lived the fruit life, but also, He produces fruit in the church's life. There were three pomegranates on each branch. Amen. Three is the number of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Because of the resurrection, we have His purity. We have His fruit in our lives. The bowls were almond flowers. Amen. This was a symbol of the resurrection. Because if you'll remember when that Aaron, amen, was being put to the test, they placed all the priest families rock in the tabernacle. Amen. And only one came out bearing almond flowers. Amen. It came to life. Jesus Christ. Amen. Came to life. That speaks to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And can I tell you the life and the beauty of Jesus' everlasting resurrected life is in our lives. Three of these flowers was upon each of the branches there. Hallelujah. His resurrection life now flows through the church, and we have the power of the resurrection. Paul said, oh, that I may know Him, amen, in the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. The shaft, though, had four of each of these. It had four, amen, fruit, four of the almond flowers, four of the lilies. Can I tell you, Jesus had purity like no one else. Amen. Jesus had power like no one else. Jesus bore fruit like no one else. Yes, amen, we have something like Him, amen, but He always goes beyond us. Hallelujah. Yes, amen, the church has three, He has four. He is more perfect. He is more pure. He is more powerful. Amen. He is the greatest of them all. Can you say amen here tonight? Amen. The lamp and the oil and the wicks. Amen. I find out what the lamps were made of, but I guess maybe gold. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't seem to say. But the lamps were vessels that could be used to produce light. Amen. Christ is the central vessel. And again, and we're going to say that light was higher than the rest of them. Amen. He shines a light that's greater than all of us. Amen. But can I tell you all the other lamps were made in the image of the central lamp. Hallelujah. All the other lights were lights just like the central lamp. Yes, we are vessels that are supposed to be lights, but only as we are made after His image can we truly produce light in this old dark world, my friends. Amen. We must be made according to the pattern. And the Bible definitely says that all things work together for good to them that know God and loved of God. Amen. And they are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? What's His purpose? That's Romans 8:28, and I botched it up, I know, but 8:29 says, for He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know what the purpose of God is? It's to make you just like Jesus. Amen. It's to form you in the image of Jesus Christ. And so some people say, well, I can't see how this will work out for the good. I'll tell you, if it makes you more like Jesus, it works out for good. Amen. It makes you into a light just like His light. And we're not a light unless we're made just like Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Amen. As you look at this, this lamp had the potential, each lamp had the potential to shine the light just as the central lamp did. Amen. And I say that we need to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. can shine out in this dark world. Jesus said, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. But he also said, ye are the light of the world. Let's shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. The oil was made of pure olive oil that was beaten. Amen. It had to be beaten to produce olive oil. Jesus had to go to the cross and raise from the dead in order for the church to be endued with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire, my friends. This speaks to us of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus lived his life in the Spirit while he was in this world, and that's why the central lamp has the oil as well. Amen. But I'm telling you, the church has oil. The church has the anointing of the Spirit of God. And that's the difference between a candle and a lamp. Amen. A candle burns by consuming itself, but a lamp gives light by the pouring forth of oil in the vessel. Amen. There are some people that I know of, amen, they're burning up. They're consuming themselves. Amen. And they're wearing out. What we need is more oil to make us more effective, to make us burn brighter. Amen. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You say, I'm just a vessel. Yes, we are. But the anointing makes the difference. The anointing made the difference in the choir singing here tonight. Amen. Wicks were placed in these little bowls. Amen. And to me, this is the least valuable, amen, the least beautiful, amen, the least thing about the whole candlestick. Can I tell you, without the wick, there would be no light. But when the weak, amen, wick, the little bit of nothing that you, what are wicks an ounce? Amen. What are wicks that you could buy? I'm telling you, it's not $540 an ounce to buy a bunch of wicks. Amen. But I could tell you, you put them in that vessel and let them soak up the oil and put the fire to them, and they shine a bright light. Hallelujah. Let me preach to you here tonight and tell you that we are just weak, fleshly people. Amen. We have human weaknesses. We have personality quirks. We have things that's different about each of us. We have, amen, sometimes just human frailties. But I'm telling you right now, you dip us in oil and set us on fire, and we can light up a dark world. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Fire was a part of this light. And I don't know, it doesn't seem to me like the Bible says, but I just figure this fire had to be the same fire God sent down upon the brazen altar to consume the sacrifice. Amen. And the fire that Jesus had there on Calvary sets us afire right now. What we need is more anointing and more of God's fire to be a light to this world. Amen. We can't complain about the darkness. Amen. We've got light. If it's not the darkness' fault if we're not shining. The darker the night, the brighter a little match is. I'll tell you what, if things are dark outside, it's not time to give up. It's a present opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ to this old world. Hallelujah. Let me talk to you about the light of the candlestick. Amen. The light of the six branches in the central shaft, that seven number of completion, was all one. This should tell us that we must give forth the same light that Christ shined. Unity with Christ in our works and doctrine should be important. The gospel we preach must be the same gospel the apostles preached. The book of Acts is really the unfinished works of Jesus Christ in this world. And the reason that the Holy Ghost-filled church was able to go everywhere preaching the Word of God and people were converted and they were such a light was because they was preaching the same doctrine, saying the same thing, shining the same light that Jesus shined. Jesus said, these works that I do, ye shall do, and greater works. Same light, same fire, same oil, same Holy Ghost. Amen. Same light, same truth, same doctrine. It all needs to be the same, my friends. Amen. And so if somebody gets a new light, that's not new light, that's old darkness. Amen. They might have just gotten used to the dark and feel as though they've got some new light. But I'll tell you, unless it shines from this book, it's not light. It's darkness, I'm telling you. Amen. It may be the devil transforming himself into an angel of light, but it is not the real light. We've got to shine just like Jesus shone in this world. This light, amen, that was in the tabernacle, shone before the Lord. Exodus 40 and 25 says, and he lighted the lamps before the Lord. Let me tell you something. Everything that we do has to be sincerely from our hearts, completely and totally for God and God alone. Amen. It has to be a sincere effort to please God, to live in his presence, and to shine. Amen. That men may glorify God. Jesus said, men would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me preach to you and tell you, you get to singing for yourself. Amen. You've received your reward and you don't have much light. You preach for yourself, testify for yourself, brag for yourself, pray for yourself. I'll tell you what, you don't have anything to brag about. I'll tell you, if you shine for the Lord, if you shine to give glory to God, that is what you should be living for. It's all for him. And then the light showed the glory of the candlestick and all the other pieces of furniture that speak of Jesus Christ. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. If I may say this, when Moses came down from the mount, his face shone, and the Bible says he wist it not. He didn't know his face was shining. He wasn't going around, hey, look at this, people, isn't this cool? Look at my face. You know, it wasn't like that. Somebody had to tell him. And you know, a lot of times we go around and it's all about us. I'll tell you what, until you lose yourself in Jesus, you're not going to shine. Amen. Until you lose yourself in the glory of God, nobody's going to say, boy, they're a bright and shining light. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Moses came down from the mountain. He didn't know his face was shining. I'll tell you, you got to beware of people that know how spiritual they are. Got to beware of them. Amen. Peter knew how spiritual he was until he fell. Amen. Then he realized Jesus knew how spiritual he was better than he did. Amen. But right now, if you really want to shine the light, you got to do it for the Lord. Amen. And get all taken up in him and let the glory of God, amen, fill your heart and life. And then after that, my friends, other people will notice that you have shown the light of God's power and God's love and God's life in this world. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I've got just a couple of other points here, but the light must be kept. You see, there were instruments to keep the wicks trimmed and burning brightly. Tongs were used to trim the wick, and the snuff dishes carried away the ashes and trimmings. And they didn't stick it between their cheek and gum either. Amen. As to put all that ashes out, to snuff it out. Amen. You know, some people would use anything in the Bible to try to prove their vices all right. Amen. And at any rate, the time that the priest took care of the light was every morning and evening. Every morning and evening. They did it every day. Every morning and evening. Every morning, every evening. Can I tell you, we need to keep our light shining. And the best way to do it is to do it in the morning and in the evening and make sure everything's trimmed up just right. Make sure everything's cleaned up just right. And I tell you, you'll be shining bright if it's every morning and every evening. Now, we can't complain about the darkness if our wick's all dirtied and charred and got a bunch of ashes and isn't trimmed up the way it should be. Can't complain that the world's dark. That's them. We're light. We got to be different. Don't complain about being different. You're supposed to be different. Amen. Trim the wick up and shine as bright as the Lord wants you to shine. Amen. Now, my last major point here is the unity of Christ, the church, and God's Word. Jesus is called the Word of God, and the church is to teach and preach the Word of God and lives by the Word of God. And Jesus, the church, and the Word of God are all called light. And the church must be in unity with Christ and the Word, as far as I'm concerned, in order for us to give a proper light to this world. Now, Jesus also said, search the Scriptures, because in them they would speak of Him. You would find Him if you searched the Scriptures. You got to look for Him. He's there. And if we live the Word of God in our lives, people will see Jesus in us. There'll be a light. Amen. And so there's an intermingling of the Word, Jesus, and the church. You see that? And as they was beating all this out, I believe this light, this candlestick, speaks of the Word, the church, and above all, Jesus Christ. And every decoration, if you remember, there was 3 almond flowers, 3 lilies, and 3 pomegranates on each branch, right? Okay, that makes 9 decorations on one branch, right? Right? There were 4 sets on the central branch. You all remember that? 4 lilies, 4 pomegranates, 4, almond flowers. All right. There was 4 sets on the central shaft. If you take, just say here, the left 3 and the central shaft, and add that up, you know what the number is? 39. How many books in the Bible were there up to Jesus Christ? 39. 39 up to Jesus, right? Old Testament books, 39. I mean, now we can, okay, remember, 9 times 3 is what? 27. 4 times 3 is what? Okay, 27 and 12 is 39, right? 39 up to Jesus. Now, 3 times 9 is what? There's 27 after Jesus. Y'all getting that? There's 27 books in the New Testament after Jesus. Praise God. Well, I don't know if that does anything for you or not, but that's exciting to me. Hallelujah. So we must arise to the challenge. There is a dark world. But if we shine before the Lord, as we should, this world is going to know the truth. Praise God. Could we stand? Let's worship God here tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be the bright and shining lights that He wants us to be. Oh, God, we praise You and love You. And thank You, Lord. I worship You, dear God. I magnify You. I glorify You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise You. I praise You, Lord. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I hope in some way I've lifted Jesus up. And I hope in some way that the Word of God seems precious to you. And really, I hope the church looks real good to you. Because you can't separate all that. If you fall in love with Jesus, Jesus and the church are connected. You're going to fall in love with the church. Jesus and the Word are connected. So how can you fall in love with Jesus without loving the Word? And when the church and the Word and Christ are all one, the oil is poured out, the fire is given, and the light shines. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's come around this altar. Let's ask the Lord to make us a bright and shining light in this world. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.